your cell phones, please. Cut them off and don't text in church. And I mean, just, I won't keep you long, but I got something real good for you today to really help you with your walk with God. So let's just open up with a word of prayer. Father, we lift up your name. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for Jesus, our God and our Savior, our strength, Lord. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we are your sons, Father. We're your sons in spirit and truth, and we know you in an intimate manner. So, Father, we praise you, and we thank you for life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk to you today, just real quick. Says that the Lord laid on my heart. And then we're going to worship God. I'm believing you're going to be so inspired. By the time that we're done, you're going to want to worship God. We're going to talk about today a prostitute. A good-looking prostitute. I'm talking about a prostitute that's like this. You know. See, all the guys are laughing. The girls are going, that's stupid. We're going to talk about a guy that wants nothing to do with... Now, all this is going to be biblical. I'm going to teach you line upon line. We're going to talk about a guy that says he wants nothing to do with the prostitute. Now, of course, all of you know what I'm going to get to with this. We're going to talk about... Now, there's every man in here, every young man. Harry, do you think that women are attractive? Ask me what I think. Heck yeah. Alex, are women attractive? Renee? Deidrin? Some of them? Elijah? You think women are... You think girls are attractive, son? You get it, man, Berlee. Mackenzie, you think girls are attractive, Mackenzie? Eddie, I know you think girls are attractive, Eddie. I know you do. Young men in the back, are women attractive? We're going to talk about a prostitute. Now, I ain't going to ask my wife and Sandy if they think women are attractive. I don't want that. They better be no. But, yeah. So we're going to talk about Robert. Are women attractive? Some of them. Quit lying. Okay. Now, every man... And Harry said yes right away. That's my worship leader. But women are attractive. Now we're going to talk about to me, the most beautiful woman on the face of this earth is Holly Berry. She's beautiful. But she's second behind my wife, of course. Okay, you caught me. So we're going to talk about beautiful women, Mackenzie. We're going to talk about a beautiful woman that's a prostitute. And there's this guy that I know in general who says he wants nothing to do with a prostitute. Nothing at all. No, I don't want nothing to do with her. Okay, listen to this real quick. We're talking about a young man that says he wants nothing to do with the prostitute. And we're talking about a prostitute. Two different people. A man and a woman. Listen to this. We're talking about a what now? A man and a what? Woman or a prostitute. Listen to this now. Let me find it. And I saw among the simple, that word simple is the word naive, one that doesn't know much. And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, that singular or plural youths, that's what? Plural, talking about many. This writer's writing about it. He said, I looked upon the youth, young men, youth, plural. Listen to this. Now you're going to like this. And I perceived among the youth a young man devoid or void of understanding. He said, I looked into a crowd of young men, he said. But among the crowd of young men, I noticed one young man. Listen to me, guys. I promise you. Listen to me. Look at me. I want to help you with your walk with God. I want to help you make the right decisions in life. He said, I looked into a crowd of youths, Proverbs 7. And in the crowd of young men that I saw a young man. But I saw that he had no understanding. How could you see amongst a group of men that there was one young man in that group that didn't have understanding? Now, of course, we're talking about a prostitute. We're talking about a young man to an extent. The young man says to me in my ear, listen to me carefully, I beg you. I'm just going to use Alex's name. Alex says to me, Homer, I got no desire to be with a prostitute. None at all. So I'm on the outside and I see Alex in the midst of a crowd. And in that crowd, I see Alex and I point him out with my heart. Alex has no understanding. But he tells me he wants nothing to do with a prostitute. Listen to this now. Then I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Passing along the street. Listen to this. Passing along the street. Every time I start reading, I want you to say, Alex, I want nothing to do with a prostitute. And passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and crafty in heart. She is loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at her house. At times outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face. She said to him, now here this young man keeps telling me he wants nothing to do with a prostitute. But his actions are what? They're betraying him. He said, I looked among the youth and I saw a young man that didn't look like he had understanding. Well, what made me conclude that Alex kept telling me behind closed doors I want nothing to do with a prostitute. But I was able to see him in the crowd. And he would say to me, and the young man would, he had no understanding. He said, but the young man passed along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house. But he said to me, I want nothing to do with the prostitute. The Bible says that he took the path to her house. He said, in the morning, in the dark night, in the evening, he took the path to her house. But he told me he had nothing to do with her. The Bible says that finally one day Alex passed by her house and she caught him and she kissed him. If he took the path to her house and he told me he wanted nothing to do with her, who was he lying to? To himself and then to me, because his actions betrayed him. The Bible says he took the path to her house. In the morning, in the evening, in the twilight, in the daytime, he took the path to her house. And finally, she came outside and she found him. You know why she found him? Because he was looking for her. Now, there was a group of men, but only one man out of the group of youth did the writer say that I see this man is empty of understanding. What gave it away that Alex was empty of understanding regarding the prostitute? What gave it away? He took the path to her house. In the morning, in the evening, in the nighttime, Alex took the path to her house. The other group of men did not. Listen to me, I beg you, listen to me. I beg you, listen to me. The Bible says that this woman, the prostitute, is loud, rebellious. In other words, her voice is strong. Her appearance is something that takes a hold of a man and brings him to his knees. Alex told me I want nothing to do with this prostitute. But the Bible says that Alex went to the path of her house. In the morning, in the daytime, in the twilight, He went by the path of her house, and finally one day she caught him and she kissed him. Do you know why she caught him and kissed him? Because that's what Alex wanted. But he told me, I want nothing to do with her. There was a group of men, but the writer said, I saw a group of men, but in that group of men, I saw one young man, and I knew he was empty inside. What made me realize it? What made you realize, Solomon, that Alex was empty? Because he said one thing, and he what? He did another. You know what his problem was? The problem wasn't Holly Berry in prostitute form. And she's not a prostitute. I'm just looking because she's a beautiful woman. The problem wasn't Holly Berry. The problem wasn't that the woman was a prostitute. The problem because the group of men saw her also. But they didn't go to what? The path of her house. They didn't walk by her house in the morning, in the daytime, and in the evening. So Alex was judged as not having understanding. Why? Because he walked by the path of her house. The other men weren't called young men that didn't have understanding. Because they what? Because they didn't what? They didn't go by the path of her house. But what understanding? What understanding do you think the 10 other men had that Alex didn't have? Which was what? I'm almost there, guys. Listen to me carefully. I'm reviewing. We're talking about a prostitute according to Proverbs 7. An immoral woman. The writer says, I saw in the midst of a group young men. And out of that group, I saw one man out of 10. One man that didn't have understanding. What qualified Alex for not having understanding? Because Alex told me he wanted nothing to do with the prostitute. But Proverbs 7 said that Alex kept walking to the path of her house in the morning, in the evening, in the twilight. Finally, what Alex was looking for caught him. The Bible says in Proverbs 7 that Alex lacked understanding. That he was void of understanding. I'm almost at the point that I'm going to make. There was 10 men there that Solomon did not judge. And the 10 men that knew a prostitute lived 4 blocks away, those 10 men stayed at home and didn't go to the path of her house. They didn't look for her. They had understanding. They had wisdom. Alex was without it. What proved it? Because Alex walked the way to her house, telling me he wanted nothing to do with her. But on the contrary, he was giving himself away of what he really wanted in his life. And that was to indulge with the prostitute. But the Bible says that the problem wasn't the prostitute. The problem wasn't the immoral woman. The problem was Alex lacked wisdom. Alex lacked, we'll go to the first part of Proverbs 7. I'm going to read to you. My son Alex, listen to me, I'm almost there. Keep my words. Alex, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. This word was written to all 11 young men. He said, hey boys, keep my word. Keep my word. The word that he was making reference to was the first 5 books of the Bible. Keep my words. And if you deposit my words in you daily, that'll give you the strength to not walk by the prostitute's house. 10 out of the 11 men there that day kept God's word. How do I know that they kept God's word? Because they didn't what? Walk by the prostitute's house. Alex told me day in and day out, I want nothing to do with her. But the Bible says that Alex walked by her house daily, 3 or 4 times a day. She wasn't there, but one day he found what he said he wasn't looking for. He lied to himself Why? Because he lacked what in him? He lacked what? God's word, or Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the first five books of the Bible. He lacked God's word inside of his being. Had Alex not been greedy, had Alex not been selfish, had Alex not been lazy, he would have been like the other 10 men that love God more than anything on the face of this world and decided to spend time with God to put in them all that was right. They had understanding because they were young men that partook of God's word. Alex gave me the appearance he was partaking of God's word, but his actions denied him. Now, in all essence, my friends, in all essence, Solomon writes in Proverbs 7, he wasn't talking about a physical woman. He was talking about the pressure inside of a believer to sin. The desire inside of a believer, man or woman, that's how strong it can be. Alex chose not to partake of anything God had for him. He chose. That's why there's failure. That's why people fail. That's why the divorce rate is the same in the church than it is out of church. Because people are just flat out lazy. That's why there's failure. That's why we give in to the flesh day in and day out. The same mistakes are made every single day by Christian people. The prostitute wasn't a physical woman. The prostitute was our... Look at me. Look at me, guys. Look at me. Look at me. The prostitute was that believer. Or even a born... You know, if you have been born again, you have God's word in you to say no to the flesh. That's why nobody wants what we say we have. I've made those mistakes, young people. There's no conviction no more in the body of Christ. There's no passion for God. I make mistakes too, young people. But me and you are called to deny our number one adversary, and that's ourself. But if you've been born again and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's word abides in you according to what I've been teaching is what? His word abides in you. If you're born again today, you do not have an excuse to give in to the flesh, to the immoral woman, to the things of this world. Because inside of your heart is the word of God that instructs me and you daily what to do and what not to do. So I can tell when a believer is going to fail. If you're a believer and you're hanging around people that you know do wrong, you might tell me you don't want to do wrong, but the very fact that you sit with them lets me know that somewhere down the road, you're going to what? Because the wisdom of God will tell you not to what? I heard Mackenzie say a little while ago, and it meant so much sense. Hey, you do what you want to do, you're right. Eventually, you're going to get caught. Heard somebody say today regarding some incidents that have been going on with some kids. I'm not going to say any names. The young man from Mockley went to jail for beating up an illegal immigrant and supposedly taking his money. Somebody said, what about his scholarship? What about the guy that came over here to work to pick tomatoes in the sun, to send money back to his family? Who gives a flip about a scholarship? You want to rob somebody? You deserve to go to jail. Period. I don't care how fast your 40 time is. I don't care how many D1 offers you got. If you feel you have to rob somebody, then you deserve to go to jail. Now, I believe in forgiveness. I believe Jesus can save that person. But you reap what you... I don't care about a scholarship. What about the illegal that worked his butt off and and got beat up and they stole his money. What about him? But every one of us that's born again here, listen to me. Every one of us that's born again in here, God's word lives in us. Listen to this real quick. I'm a married man. This is how God's word works within us. I'm a married man. There's a secretary that flirts. I'm just giving a scenario that flirts. I know she flirts. She wants me to give her a ride to the handy. You know what the wisdom of God or God's word in me tells me to do at that moment? To not do it. I don't let no woman in my house when my wife's gone, and there's very few people that are allowed in my house if I'm not there. Very few people. That might seem harsh, but that is the wisdom of God. God's word cries out within us as our Father. He gives us instruction. Somebody told me once, well, I love him and I want to change him. Listen, man, if he won't listen to the Holy Spirit, he darn sure won't listen to you. As hard as it sounds and as hard as it may seem, God's wisdom for you is to turn the other way. I don't smoke dope, but my boys do. Either you're lying to me, or it's a matter of time before you actually smoke dope with them. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just, as things come to my mind, I'm talking about them. Well, I don't smoke dope. I don't steal. I just run with people that do. Either you're lying to me, or eventually you will. Nah, Courtney, me and Courtney are just best friends. We talk on the phone all the time about Jesus. No, me and Courtney are just best friends. I'm going to go drive to Lake Placid just to go say hi to her. No. The wisdom of God within me tells me no. Pastor Homer, I want Miss Rosie to give me a ride to Fort Myers. Oh, heck no. Oh, heck no. Ask me. I'll give you. I'm just giving you different examples. There's people that I trust with my life. But God's word is in us to lead us to make the right decisions every single day of our lives. In every situation, God's word. If you're born again, the instruction of God. We're not like the believer in Proverbs 7 that didn't read the Bible to have God's word. If you said yes to Jesus, God's word, God's instruction lives inside of me and you, and we know right from wrong. If we are Christians that live a miserable life, it's because we are consistently partaking of 1 John chapter 1. We are that Christian that's living in darkness. And if you live in darkness, you will always be a miserable Christian till the day that you die. If we have been born again, God's word lives in us. His instruction lives in me and directs me every single day of my life. It's been a trying time for me with my job and other certain things that are happening with my job, along with the church and not being here, along with my children, along with my kids in sports. It's taken a little toll on me. There's certain things that my children do that I'm not happy with. But you know what cries out of my heart? God's love for that situation. Now, we as parents think that when our children do wrong, that we have the right to yell at them. And well, What's wrong with you? No. God's love does not operate like that. But we as parents, we don't know that. We don't believe that because we feel if there are kids, we got to yell at them to correct them. No, Jesus has never yelled at me, and God the Father is my Father. So Alex is my son, and he gets caught stealing. I can't believe my son did that. Oh, I raised him, that piece of junk. Alex, what's wrong with you? I work hard for you. I give you everything in the world. Why did you do that? No. As much as that sounds logical and it makes sense, no, the love of God speaks in my spirit. The love of God has me go up to Alex. Oh, son. You're digging a hole, son, that you can't come out of. I want you to know, Alex, that I love you and I'm praying for you. And you're going to make it, son. Me and my son talked today, Quentin. We were talking about a particular person. How they've never seen this particular person hug their son. And now they're not together anymore. When you bring somebody into your house, you have to love them like your very own. Because in all essence, they are your very own. My son's been with me since the age of 9. He's done things that have driven me crazy. But at the end of the day, God's instruction, God's love in my heart for him has been the same when he does good as when he does bad. The same thing with Elijah. The same thing with Julie. I don't approve of all they do. But God's love in my heart, his word in me, is to treat my kid. And I don't always. But I tell you this, when I do make a mistake, Deidre, I'll go to you like a man. And I'll say, you're not the problem. I am. See, we don't have to give in to that immoral woman. Because God's word abides in us. And God's word directs us on what to say and what not to say. Deidre knows me better than anybody. I mean, outside of Alex, and he knows me so good because the other day, and he hit the spot. We've been going to my son's baseball games every day. And he hates sitting in the front because he has to wear the seatbelt. He despises it. I hate putting on my seatbelt, but I done got used to it. So Eddie was walking out of Pizza Hut with us. I said, no, Eddie, go the other way. Go on Deidre's side. Because I didn't want to open up the door and I had my seatbelt already. Deidre said, no, go to Homer's side. So here's poor Eddie. Boom. Eddie said, oh, man, it's hot. He just said, go in the back. I said, no, he can't go in the back. So Eddie would come on my side. I said, no. We were laughing, having a good time. I said, go to Deidre's side. I said, poor Eddie, here he goes. There's my side, there's Deidre's side. He'd walk around the truck. Deidre said, no, go home or side. I said, here's poor Eddie. But I already had my seatbelt and both doors closed. I didn't want to undo my seatbelt and open the door. Then I put down the window on the other side. I said, go through the window. He said, no. Eddie called me. He said, no, Pops, it's hot. So finally, I saw Deidre won't go move. What do you think I did? I said, come on, Eddie. And you know what Deidre said? What'd you say, Deidre, when I opened that door? He said, I knew you'd do it and give in because you're soft-hearted. After 10 minutes, I was soft-hearted. But finally, I gave in. My thing is this, my friends. We have an operation, a kingdom that lives inside of me and you that is so precious because Jesus said in John 14 and 15, he said, I will not leave you alone. Listen to this. Jesus said concerning me and you, Courtney, he said, I will not leave you alone. I will come to you through the Holy Spirit. And I'll bring you comfort and I'll give you direction in your life. The Word of God lives. Oh man, that sounds so awesome, God Almighty. The Word of God lives in us, man, to instruct us daily. He'll tell you who to chill with and who not to chill with. It's up to me and you to do the right things. If you're born again, you know wrong from right. We're not like the believer in Proverbs 7 that had to put the first five books of the Bible in him to know right from wrong. If we have been born again, the Word of God lives inside of us. We have perfection that lives inside of me and you to guide us on a daily basis. Another one. I'm here to present to you the kingdom of God. I'm here to present to you the ways of this one man named Jesus Christ. I can't tell you to stop sinning. I don't have that right. But I can tell you of the one that lives in you that will tell you to stop sinning. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If I could ever convince you to spend time with Jesus consistently, you'd be a habitual offender to righteousness. If I could ever talk you into falling in love with Jesus Christ, your life, and it wouldn't be a roller coaster. If I could ever talk you into rubbing shoulders with Jesus Christ, your life would never be the same. Every situation in our life, the love of God lives in us. And it comes out of our heart for me and you to do the right thing. It's been weighing on my heart so much on how to treat my children. Because you know what? As my children do wrong, I just acknowledge to you that there's stuff in my life that is what? Wrong. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, never brings an accusation against me. But he's there in his love and his compassion, urging me on as his son. Come on, son, you can do this. Thank God, right? Thank God, Eddie. Thank God, Deidre, that when I do wrong, that God the Father doesn't bring up what I do on a screen. Guys, don't ever look at me. Don't ever put me in a place that I'm not. Put Jesus there. Because whenever I do fail you, you'll be so in love with Jesus that you'll know to forgive me. But if you set your eyes on me when I fail you, you won't forgive me. But if you set your eyes on Jesus and you hold me as just the man that I am, if I ever fail you, you'll be so in love with him that you won't be able to wait to forgive me. But if your eyes are on me, if I ever fail you, you won't forgive me. Jesus is the perfect example of what we strive for to know in an intimate manner. We don't have to give in to the things of this world if we fall in love with Jesus. Now, it's been said before that I don't look for nobody. Mackenzie's close to me. Deidre's close to me. These guys are just part of my life now. Deidre's over so much that my wife just automatically just cooks for him. I'm here in this town. I'm only here for one reason. My heart has been to be in Texas for years. But my heart is here for the young people of this town. My heart is here to submit to an awesome man of God. To spend time with Jesus Christ to make a change in our community. We have an awesome operation inside of me and you. We can just live according to what's right. Now, that's why Christians fall away. They get born again. They give their life to Jesus and start living crazy. And all of a sudden, the things of God don't seem important to them anymore. All he's looking for is for me and you to spend a little time with him daily. And these last 3 months have been shaky on my part. overwhelmed at work. Kids here, kids there. But I still feel an anointing in my life. We don't have to give in to the things of this world. We don't have to give in to the things of this world because there's something inside of me and you that directs us on what to do and what not to do. Don't go astray, man. Because coming back might seem impossible to you. The thing about going astray is when you go too far. I don't know where that line's at, and I'm not Baptist. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe a person can walk away from Jesus Christ. But if you walk away, your heart will be so hardened that the desire to repent and turn to Jesus would diminish. So I urge you today in these closing words before we worship God. Christians fail in their walk with God because ultimately they want what's in the world more than they want the things of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, a Christian fails because he wants the world, the very thing that 1 John tells us not to want. What did he say? He said, love not the world, listen to me, or the things in the world. So when one fails and walks away from the kingdom of God and their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, in all essence, what they're really saying is, God, I love the things of this world more than I love your son, Jesus. Make no mistake. Jesus Christ is dealing with some of you right now on decisions to make, right decisions. And you know that that's Jesus crying within you to make that right decision. Go with it, man. Go with the commandment of God. Go with his love. He knows best for you. I'm up against a hard decision right now. I'm with a job that's overwhelming me. And you know what? Money ain't that important to me. To take time away from my family, from my church, it's just not that important to me. So pray for me, my friends, that I would hear the wisdom of God. And if I got to walk away from this job, I'll walk away from it. Because my prayer time and holding my wife and my kids, submitting to my pastor coming to this church, far outweighs the love of money. So just pray that Pastor Omar would just make that godly decision, the next step in his life, because I'm not happy where I'm at. You know what this church consists of? People that want a revival. People that want to know Jesus more than anything on the face of this earth. And fear tries to come upon me. Well, if you quit this job, you got a mortgage. You got 5, 6 kids to feed. But that's fear. Our walk with Jesus has to be first and foremost. And right now it isn't in my life. But something's crying out within me. I just really need God's wisdom so bad in my life right now to hear it plainly. Because at the end of the day, when I die, I won't be judged by how much money I make. I'll be judged on how I led my family. I'll be judged on how I lived my life in Jesus Christ. I'll be judged according to how much I obeyed the voice of God. So we got something within us, my friends, which is a born-again spirit, and out of that spirit cries out the instruction of God. That's what separates us from every other religion. Our kingdom is internal. And out of that kingdom is where we live. The instruction of heaven comes out from within our spirit. That's why this youth group will never be that big. Some of the things that we preach are totally different. But all it takes is one or two young men or young women of God to say, God, I commit my nights to you. I commit my life to you. All God needs is one or two people to go out and win this city. He doesn't need the little one that memorizes 10 Bible verses and gets a free lollipop. He needs one that'll say, God, I love you more than life itself. When these young men like Renee and Alex make the decisions that they've made, see, they don't know how much I appreciate all they've done for this church and for Jesus. Quit prestigious colleges because they want to win the city. Now, some of you guys are going to be big time football players in that day. I'm not talking about you guys. We're not all called. Well, I guess we are all called to an extent, but you can minister Jesus on the football field. But these last words tonight are, if you live your life according to what's true, you'll make the right decisions in life. Immokalee is my home. It's the place where God's called me to live. For Him first, and then to serve you. It's my God and my family second. Priscilla, Julie, Quentin, Elijah, Nathaniel, and David, my wife of 20-something years. I'm not the best dad in the world. I got a ways to go, but I know the best dad in the world. And the more I spend time with Him, I'm able to be a better person. Outside of spending time with Jesus, I have no hope. So let's encounter this man named Jesus together. Together, let's encounter Him. You want to know what true happiness is? True happiness is encountering Jesus Christ and obeying His ways from within. And really, if you do remember me at night in your prayer, just pray that I would be so sensitive to the voice of God from within my heart. Because I'm not called to attend meetings out of this town, out of this state, into other states. I'm called to be here in this town, in this community, with my family, growing in God. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to live here in this community, to live my life for Jesus. I want every one of you to know what Alia and Miss Barbara, all that you do, and prayers. I love you guys, man. And the only advice that I can give you is to spend time with Jesus Christ. We don't have to give ourselves to this world because the Word of God lives in us. We can say no to that immoral woman. We can say no to the flesh because we have been born again. Consider. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we bless you. Now, God's not looking for perfection, my friends. He's just looking for young men and young women that will say, God, I know I got areas in my life that I lack, Lord, but with all my heart, Lord, I want to spend time with you, Lord, and I'll put you first on my list of priorities. I'll start my morning with you, Jesus. I'll start my morning with my hands lifted up. I'll start my morning with my Bible open, Lord, being transformed into your image. I don't like the way I'm living now, Jesus. I just choose you. Whether it's 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day, Lord, I know you're coming back, Lord, and I want to be ready when you come back. I want you to use me in this community, but He can't use you unless you learn first to walk in His love. So tonight, before we go home, if you heard all the words tonight, and let's just go home tonight worshiping Jesus like we never have before. And let Him change your mindset. Let Him place His desire in your heart, which is to know Him in an intimate manner. Don't be sidetracked in this journey. It's easy to be sidetracked. You are called to be here to help me win over this city. You're not here by accident. You guys that come here on a consistent basis, you are not here by accident. Please, if you don't want to, you don't have to, but I just ask you as a family together, we come up here this evening and just give God a few minutes of praise and worship. So before we go home, then I just want to instruct you guys. Most all of you here, some that attend, guys, pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues as much as you can in your life. Just walk the streets, at home, in the bathroom, taking a shower. Pray in tongues as much as you can. You will never be the same. You will never, ever be the same. Read your Bibles, man. Fight. Fight for your time with Jesus. Fight for your time with Jesus. Don't let nothing distract you. There's a lot of distractions out there. Fight for your time. I promise you, you'll never be the same. Let's find this man named Jesus together. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Love you. Hallelujah.